The cliffhanger, surprise ending. Okay, so let's see. So this is from the Hegione Halacha. The piece is called Gedra Shel Tanis Esther. What is the Geder? What is the nature of Tanis Esther? The truth is it's a very different type of fast, and that's why it's important to understand. Chamesh Tanios Hein She'anu Tzamim Zecher L'maisim Asher Karu Es Am Yisrael. There are five fasts that we have throughout the calendar year to commemorate different events that took place for the Jewish people. Uvechlalam, and amongst them is Tanis Esther. V'nivdelis Tanis Esther Mishar Tanios. But the nature of Tanis Esther is different. What do you mean? It's fasting. It's a day of tshuva. That's true. But it's not the same as a Tisha B'Av, and it's not the same as a Tzom Gedalia, and it's not the same as a Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Hein mitzad makora, it's different both in terms of its origin, where does it come from? Vehein mibechinas mahusa, and it's different in terms of its mahus. What does mahus mean? Its essence. Okay, its source is different, and its essence is different. What does he mean by its source being different? Shar tanios nizkru b'mefurash b'mikra. We have a pasuk in Zechariah that tells us about four out of the five fasts. It says, Tzom harivii, the fast of the fourth. What does it mean, the fast of the fourth? The fast of the fourth month. So count with me. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. What is the fast of the fourth? Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Yud Zayin Tammuz. Then the pasuk says, Tzom Chamishi, the fast of the fifth. Tammuz is the fourth month. Right? Av is the fifth month. Okay? Tzom HaShvi'i, fast of the seventh month is the fast of Tishrei, which is the seventh month, counting from Nisan. Of course, that's not a reference to Yom Kippur, which is also a fast in the seventh month, right? But it's a reference to what? To Tzom Gedalia, Gimel Tishrei. And lastly, the fast of the tenth month, which is Teves. That's what we call Asar B'Teves. Okay, so where's Tanis Esther? Where is the source for Tanis Esther? The Navi Zechariah spoke about the Tzom HaRevi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom Shvi, Tzom HaSiri. Ve'ilu Tanis Esther, which falls out on Shlosha Asar Ba'adar, Einan is Karis B'Mefurash, Lo B'Mikra, Af Lo B'Talmud. However, there's no Gemara about Tanis Esther. So it kind of makes you wonder, what is the secret of Tanis Esther? It's very hidden, like everything in Purim. You always have to find it, it's always hiding. Mishum Kach, Kosvu HaPoskim, Shetanis Zu, Eina El Mitzad HaMinog. This is a Tanis that is a very well-established minhag. Lefichach, therefore, kulos miyuchados letanizu, there are certain leniencies that are unique to this Tanis. V'hein mevo'ares b'shulchan arach, and if you look in the Shulchan Arach, you'll see that in terms of breaking one's fast, in terms of certain leniencies for someone who's not well, v'chulu v'chulu, we're more lenient about Tanis Esther because it's not based on the Pasuk and the Navi, but it's actually an ancient minhag. Okay, so what's the origin? What fast are we even commemorating today? Etzem kviyas hatanis b'shlosha asar ba'adar shu erev purim, the establishment of the fast on erev purim, o rosh ha'ila b'kerev rishonim, raised the following question amongst the rishonim. I don't want to spend so much time on this question, but it's important to just know that it is a question. Harei yamei ha'purim heim min ha'yamim ha'nizkarim b'megilas tanis. There's something called Megillas Tanis. What is Megillas Tanis? What is Megillas Tanis? Anyone know? Anyone ever encounter Megillas Tanis? Megillas Tanis was a scroll that recorded dates where Jews were not allowed to fast. Right? Dates where we can't fast or give hespedim. And it's usually because of something that occurred that was joyous. And it says in Megillas Tanis that sometimes the day preceding or following a joyous day, you also can't fast. So, for example, it says in Megillas Tanis, "Shemifuratim v'hayam shenasu bem nisim." It was a list, an ancient Jewish list of all the celebratory days. Right? Again, most of those celebratory days we don't celebrate today. V'asim chacham kiyam tovim. But they were like Yom Tov, days that were Yom Tov-like, because of great events that happened in Jewish history. Al osim hayama nizkar Megillas Tanis, and about those days that are found in Megillas Tanis, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, she'asur ligzor b'hem Tanis. These are days that you're not allowed to fast. They're happy days. V'lo b'hem b'lvad elagam lo lifnayim v'lo l'achrayim. Like I told you a moment ago, the list of dates in Megillas Tanis, those joyous days, you're not allowed to fast on that day. You're also not allowed to fast the day before or the day after. Va'odo merish, that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Va'odo merish shama Gemara kila achra chorban butla Megillas Tanis. So you'll say, how come I've never heard of Megillas Tanis before? You know why? Because the Gemara says that after the Chorban, we were so saddened by the loss of the Beis HaMikdash that basically all of those joyous days are overshadowed today by our loss of Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ein mashgichim b'yamei ha-simcha nizkarim ba, we don't pay attention to the joyous days mentioned within. Our sadness is too profound in galus. And therefore, mutar l'kvoa tanis b'am, and therefore you're allowed to what? Fast on those days. Umatam batlum, mishum she'oz she'kavum liyom tovim kvar eira b'hem harbi ma'ora shal tzara l'fichach bitlum. Meaning all of the sorrows of Jewish history have replaced those days of great joy. However, there's one exception. If you want to be a real wise guy, right? And you know, and someone asks you, like, oh, why are you celebrating Purim? Because it says so in Megillas Tanis. Right? Because that's the one Yom Tov that we kept. Amarnu l'malu ki yimei Purim nichtivu af heim b'Megillas Tanis. So he says, I mentioned one of the earlier pieces in the Sefer, that Purim's also included in the Megillas Tanis. That was a joyous day. True. U'lechore kasha lama hutrichu lichosei b'Megillas Tanis. So you'll ask yourself, all right, why do I need to write Purim as a holiday in Megillas Tanis? I have much better sources for Purim, namely Megillas Esther. Halohei mefurashim b'kosov Megillas Esther. It says explicitly in Megillas Esther that Alkeina Yehudim aprazim osim es yom arbas ar lachodesh adar simchu mishtav yom tov. And the Yehudim in Shushan, the walled city, celebrate the 15th as a day of yom mishtav simcha. So I don't understand. Why do I need Megillas Tanis to introduce me to the Yom Tov of Purim? I have Megillas Esther to do that. So he explains that what, based on the Megillas Esther, what days are joyous days? If you live in an unwalled city, you celebrate the 14th of Adar. If you live in a walled city, you celebrate the 15th of Adar, like Shushan. However, Megillas Tanis had a different rule. What was the rule in Megillas Tanis? Not only is the day itself a celebratory day, but what? The day before and the day after are also celebratory-ish, enough that you're not allowed to fast. Alkein chazru v'kasvim Megillas Tanis. So you know why they wrote Purim in Megillas Tanis also? To expand the joy of Purim that you're not allowed to fast on Erev Purim. In order to what? In order to connect the days. That the 14th has to be somewhat celebrated by those who keep Purim on the 15th, meaning they're not allowed to fast on the 14th. And if you Purim on the 15th, sorry, the other way around, and if you keep the 14th, you're also allowed to fast on the 15th. Ukishabit Luis Megillas, last line on the page. So when Megillas Tanis was overturned, they kept one exception. Purim maintained all of its strength. Right? Purim became Purim, stayed Purim. Purim was not negated like all those other minor holidays in Megillas Tanis. So why did they do that? So why did they keep Purim? Right? That sounds like a crazy question. Like, Ki'ilu Purim was subject to be batel. Purim is the ultimate Yom Tov that's not batel. But okay, when all the other minor holidays that we never even heard of disappeared, why did Purim make it through? Bishum ha-nisim ha-mufursamim shenasu behem. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says because Purim was particularly miraculous. Interesting, because you read the Sefer and there's not too many miracles in the Purim story, at least not on a superficial level. So if it's true that, again, that Purim survived, so to speak, Megillas Tanis, the question of the Rishonim is as follows in the fourth line. Omdu ha-Rishonim v'shalu, heich anu misanim lifnei Purim. So before we try to even understand what the source of Tanis Esther is, let's ask a simple question. The rule was that anything in Megillas Tanis Not only is that day a day that's prohibited from fasting, but the day before also. And we said when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Chorban Beis Hamikdash, they got rid of Megillas Tanis, but they kept Purim. So how are we allowed to fast the day before Purim? No? It's a question that we show on a mask. How are we allowed to fast the day before Purim? V'halo yamim haniskar Megillas Tanis asurim lesanus lefneim. The rule is, right, this is a question the Chiddush Aran asked, and Tosfos asked, the Rishonim are trying to figure out. I don't understand. Why are we allowed to fast today? Shouldn't we be experiencing the joy of Purim? No? The truth is, if you read the first Mishnah, Maseches Megillah, Mishnech L'Sadar Marim B'Simcha, already from the beginning of the month, but certainly, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Hezvav, these are all days of Kriyas HaMegillah. These are especially joyous days. How could today be a fast day? It's a good kasha. Al kushya zu heishivu rishonim kamate rutsim. There are many answers to this question. Yesh omrim ki direi agamara shedine megillas tanis lo batlu mipurim. Hakavanu shalo batlu liyamei purim bilvad. Hainu shabiyamei hapurim atzmam aser lisanos. Aval hadinim hanogim liyam shalafneim lacharayim batlu im megillas tanis vishuv mutar litzom lifneim. This is probably the answer that most of you would have guessed. The answer of Tosfos and Maseches Tanis, which is what? What did we keep from Megillas Tanis? We kept Purim, and we kept Shushan Purim. But we dropped all of the extra, you know, levels of Chumrah that Megillas Tanis introduced us to. Meaning what? The notion that you can't fast the day before a happy day, or the day after a happy day, that was made batal. Okay, so it could be, the simple answer would be, when we say we kept Purim from Megillas Tanis, it means we just kept Purim itself. But we abandoned the stringency of not fasting the day before as well, which allows us to fast today. Okay, that's a somewhat obvious answer. V'yesh min ha-rishonim ha-omrim, some rishonim say, shegam lifneim l'achreim lo batlu dine Megillas Tanis, really, me'ikar hadin, we shouldn't be allowed to fast today because of Megillas Tanis. And therefore, we really shouldn't be allowed to fast the day before or the day after. So if that's true, so then we'll ask ourselves a question. So how are we fasting today, on the day before Purim? How could that be? You're telling me we kept that stringency from Megillas Tanis. So how are we allowed to fast today? Elamayla v'tokaf yesh b'Purim. So we have to say that there's something special about Purim that elevates it to a different level. What does that mean? And it's almost like a Shabbos or a Yom Tov. Because b'seifa shel Braisa, at the end of that Braisa, on Maseches Rosh Hashanah, mechalkim bin hayam haniskar b'megillas tanis levein shabbosos v'yom tovim. Right? Ask yourself a question. Are you allowed to fast on Friday? Are you allowed to ever fast on a Sunday? What Shabbos is not a happy day? You're telling me all these little minor holidays in Megillas Tanis, you're not allowed to fast the day before or the day after. But Shabbos, which is the root of all Kedushas Hazman, how are you ever allowed to fast on a Friday? How are you ever allowed to fast on a Sunday? So says Megillas Tanis, says the Brice in Megillas Tanis, obviously, right, there are some Yom Tovim, there's some category of Shabbos, Yom Tov, that functions a little bit differently. Yeah? That when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov, but you are allowed to fast before and after. So he says, Uma hefrish bin eila le'ela, the line that begins with the word le'ela, what's the difference between these and those? Ela hayam manis kar migilas tanis midivrei sofrim haim. Because again, the things that are listed in Megillas Tanis, all these little minor holidays, are of rabbinic origin. And divrei sofim tzrichim chizuk. Rabbinic things require what? They need a little help. Oh, it's just the Rabbana. That's what people like to say. Oh, it's just the Rabbana. So you know how we reinforce the words of the rabbis? How do we reinforce the words of the rabbis? We say, not only do you have to celebrate that day, we want you to think about it the day before, we want you to think about it the day after. So therefore, Chazal or Koveya, you can't fast the day before, you can't fast the day after, because Chazal wants you to take that quote-unquote minor holiday seriously. Because otherwise you might come to fast on that holy day itself, on that special day itself. Aval, Shabbos and Yom Tov, which are min HaTorah, doesn't need so much chizuk. Can't fast on Shabbos, you can't fast on Yom Tov. I don't even machazik that by saying you should also not fast on Friday, you should also not fast on Sunday. We know, the Torah knows you're going to take Shabbos seriously, and you're going to take Yom Tov seriously. So based on that, so what's the nature of Purim now? We're learning a very deep thing about Purim. So you're telling me Purim, you are allowed to fast the day before. We're fasting today. It's Tanis Esther. So therefore what? So therefore it must be Al Pi Zeh Baharan. The Ran explains in the Chidushei Aran on Rosh Hashanah, Lomar Yemei HaPurim Keivan Shenizkru Megillas Esther Veheim Divrei Kabbalah. Since what? Yeah, sure. Gavaldik. Shalom Armando. So since we learned yesterday that Purim is not just a plain old Derabanan, not that there's anything, God forbid, as a plain old Derabanan, right? Every Derabanan is very halik. But because Purim is what? It's Divrei Kabbalah. It was written prophecy. It's Ruach HaKodesh. We saw yesterday, Chassam Sofer says it's even holier than the Torah itself, maybe. Divrei Kabbalah ke Divrei Torah Damu. Divrei Kabbalah is elevated more than a regular Derabanan. It's like Torah. And therefore, we don't need to say you can't fast before Purim because maybe you'll come to fast on Purim. I promise you, no one's fasting on Purim. We don't have to worry about that. Klal Yisrael know how to do Purim. It doesn't need chizuk. That's what we're learning. It doesn't need chizuk. That's what we're saying. The halacha, this question of the Rishonim is revealing to us that what? That when it comes to Purim, Purim doesn't need chizuk. Ah, it's only Derabanan. Usually, Divrei Chachamim, Derabanans need chizuk. Divrei Sofrim needs chizuk. Not Purim. Purim doesn't need chizuk. Purim gives chizuk. Doesn't need chizuk. Okay? Good? Okay. Good. All right, he talks a little bit more about this question. I want you to be aware of the question. We'll skip the bottom paragraph. We'll turn to the top of the next page. Page 248. Okay, let's understand. So that's a question in terms of, again, the Megillas Tanis, this ancient scroll, and the way that it was made batel, and how that impacts Purim, and how it impacts the day before Purim. But now let's try to understand it through the essence of what Tanis Esther is. Right? Because he told us he's going to address the mahus of the Tanis. Again, there's a categorical difference about the feeling we're supposed to have on Tanis Esther than other Tanios. The way we feel on Tisha B'Av, the way we feel on Shiva Sabra Tammuz, the way we feel on Asar B'Tavis, the way we feel on Tzom Gedalia, it's a different feeling than the feeling of today. I went to a bris this morning. Yisrael Shmuel Lubet, Shvizocha Tatorah Chupa Maisim Tovim, and Rabbi Reichman said, even though we're not eating this morning, right? Normally you eat by a bris, right? And that's part of the Simcha. He says, but Tanis Esther is a different type of fast. It's a fast of Simcha. It's not a fast of Tzara. So let's try to understand what that is and how Tanis Esther is not a contradiction. Right? It's not like, let's be sad before we're very happy. It's not a contradiction to what we're experiencing. Okay, top of page 248. Havchon lo shal Tanis Esther l'shartanios yesh ba l'das mafarshim kidei limtso heter l'kvias Tanis b'shlosha asar ba'adar. Right, again, an understanding or an investigation into the essence of Tanis Esther will help us to further understand why it's totally appropriate to lead into a Yom Tov like Purim with a fast day. Shar Tanios, here are the key words, Tanios shel tsar hein. Tisha B'Av is a sad day, Shiva Sar B'Tammuz is a sad day, Sar B'Tavis is a sad day, Tzom Gedalia is a sad day, these are sad days. Ve'ilu Tanis Esther ha'il zecher l'neis shenasebo. Tanis Esther is a celebratory day. We're commemorating a miracle. Al kein kisha osru les anos lefnei hayom in iskar b'gilas Tanos, lu'iskavnu el Tanios shel tsar. It could be, therefore, that what? When they prohibited fasting before one of the celebratory days in Megillas Tanis, right? When they said you can't fast, they were worried that the fast is going to what? God forbid, take away from the Simcha. That was never a concern with Tanis Esther, because the nature of Tanis Esther is not a fast that commemorates something sad. Right? This is not a fast over the Chorban. Think about the four other fasts. Whether it's Asar B'Teves, whether it's Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, whether it's Tisha B'Av, whether it's Tzom Gedalia, each one commemorates a different aspect of Galus, breaching the walls, right, destroying the Beis HaMikdash, Gedalia being exiled, the end of an era. Each one represents a different disconnect from, right, the siege around Yerushalayim. They're different degrees of what? Different degrees of Churban, of Galus. Tanis Esther is not at all that type of fast. That's why, in fact, he says, a couple lines down, Tanis Esther is a fast that we can move up. What does it mean we can move up? Look at the line that begins with the word Shemesh. Okay, in the middle of that line, about nine lines in. Imchol Shlosha Asar Ba'adar B'yom Shishi O B'Shabbos. If Tanis Esther were to fall out on what day? On a Friday or a Shabbos, Hadin hu shmakdimim umasanim biyom chamishi. We can move up Tanis Esther to Thursday. Sometimes Tanis Esther will get what? Bumped up. The question is, Kasha, lama shona Tanis Esther mitzom Tisha B'Av. What happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbos? Do we fast before or we fast after? Push it off. We're not rushing to fast. Right? We don't bring a fast upon ourselves early. So why by Tanis Esther do we advance Tanis Esther? The Gemara has a rule. The Gemara says, Shem Chol Tisha B'Av Lios B'Shabbos Ma'achrim. Push off the fast after Shabbos. V'lo Makdimin. The Gemara uses a phrase, Megillah Daf Hei quotes it here, Mishum Akdume Puranus Lo Makdime. To bring Puranus. What's Puranus? Punishment. We don't want to bring punishment upon ourselves early. We don't need to bring Tisha B'Av any sooner than it has to happen. So why, when it comes to Tanis Esther, is it different? So he explains in the name of Rav Chai Gaon. He quotes Rav Chai Gaon, Shiltos of Rav Chai Gaon, Bala Shiltos, who says, Shona Tanis Esther, mi Tisha B'Av. Tanis Esther is not like Tisha B'Av. It's not a sad day, Chavra. She Tanis Esther, he zecher lanes, v'yeshima simcha. Tanis Esther is a day of celebration. When it comes to Simcha, we don't want to push off the Simcha. If we can't fast because Tanis Esther falls out on a day that we can't fast, so we move it up. Let Tanis Esther come early. No problem. Aval Tisha B'Av, where the Tzom is Zecher LaParanus, V'Zecher LaParanus Ma'achrim V'lo Makdimim. But when it comes to punishments, we want to delay the punishment as much as we can. Okay? Good? Okay. Now, let's think for half a second about something that we should really, really know the answer to if we're fasting right now. Okay? Why are we fasting today? Well, today is the 13th of Adar. What do we know about the 13th of Adar? That was the day that Haman wanted to kill the Jewish people. So what exactly is Tanis Esther? Esther's fast. Let's not get confused for a second. Right? When was Haman himself killed? When was Haman killed? What day? The 16th of Nisan, no? Second day of Pesach. That's why at the end of the Haggadah on the second night, at the end of the second Seder, right, we talk about all the things that happened. Haman met his downfall in Pesach. Haman met his downfall in Pesach. Okay? That was in Nisan. A year, almost a full year later, yeah? From Nisan to Adar, Nisan is the first of the months, Adar is the last of the months. So almost a full year later, the Jews, what? Nikalu, they gathered and they defended their lives. They fought for their lives. Yeah. We've worshipped the Megillah. I'm not saying anything wild. Okay? Now, before Esther went to Ahasuerus to request that he come to a party with Haman, which led to the death of Haman, Esther asked Klal Yisrael to fast on her behalf. Fast for 3 days in preparation for my request. So hold on a second. What's Tanis Esther? Esther's fast. What is Esther's fast? Is Esther's fast the fast that Esther asked Klal Yisrael to do for 3 days prior to her confronting Haman? Making her parties, going to Ahasuerus without permission. Is that Tanis Esther? Because today's calendar day is what? Is the day that the Jews gathered to defend their lives. Well, if that's what today is, if this is the day that Haman wanted to kill us, Right? So why is it called Tanis Esther? This is Esther's fast. So let's take a look. Gufa shel Tanis. Bottom paragraph on page 248. What are we fasting today? Which fast are we even commemorating? Gufa shel Tanis shlosha asar ba'adar hi Tanis Esther tzricha bir. The very nature of this fast, again, that we happen to be experiencing right now in the 13th of Adar requires explanation. Al shem ma kavua. For what reason are we fasting today? Im kavua kezecher l'shloshes yemei hatzom shel Mordechai ve'Esther l'bitul hagzeira. Are we commemorating the 3 days that what Mordechai and Esther encouraged Klal Yisrael to fast in order to what? To confront Haman. Or, which was when? So when would that fast? When was that fast? That was in Nisan. O kezecher l'tzom shetzamo ha-Yehudim kodem shiatzu li'lachim be'oiveyem b'malchus madayu pas. Or are we commemorating the fast that the Jews themselves fasted on their way out to battle to defend their lives? Because that was part of the tshuva that accompanied them to battle. Just like Moshe fasted before Klal Yisrael went out to battle Amalek. And if you'll ask, v'im titama eich efshar likshur tanis shlosha sarba adar letzom shal Mordechai v'Esther, and if you'll say, hold on a second, how could today possibly be the fast commemorating the 3 days that the Jews fasted for Esther? First of all, they fasted 3 days. We're only fasting 1 day. That's the second. That's the smaller, I think, of the two questions. The bigger question, that fast day took place in Nisan. So why are we fasting in Adar? So he says, ain't kan to me. It's not such a question at all. Afal pi shehem tzamu b'nisan, nachmas horas shah asukim. They fasted in Nisan out of desperation. You realize that year the Pesach Seder was canceled. That's not so pashut. Pasuk says, Vayavar Mordechai. The Gemara says, Mordechai did an Avera. It was an Avera Lashma. It was a holy Avera. What was his holy Avera? He didn't eat matzah on Pesach. What do you mean? There's a mitzvah, Be'er of Tochlu Matzos. How can Mordechai not do that? How did he pass up that mitzvah? The answer is, it was a Shas Adchak. It was Horas Shah. See the words Horas Shah, first word on the line? What's Horas Shah? What is that concept? What's a Hora? What is it? A warning? No, not so much a warning. What's Torah? What is Torah? A Hora means a psak. Horas Shah means an emergency measure, right? It was a Hora, it was a psak for that Shah. Out of desperation, that particular moment called for it. It's not a rule as it always exists. In fact, the opposite is true. Fasting in Nisan, at the beginning of Nisan, is discouraged. Kev and Shehayu b'sakana, out of desperation, they were in danger, so the Jews fasted. Aval lidoros lo kavu b'nisan, mishum she'ein mis'anim b'nisan. But they weren't going to what? We're not going to commemorate that fast in Nisan, because it's not an appropriate time to fast. Yeah? How did he know he's supposed to fast?
Meaning, if you want
right,
to
how does a person, how does one, yeah.
Right, like, he could have just been the Shemwan of
right.
The Seder, and that would have made him
happy. Yeah, it's a very delicate thing. All right, maybe the way to fight a Malik is, what do you mean? We're going to have a Pesach Seder.
Yeah.
To show our confidence in Gula.
It's
a hard question.
Like and, like, the Holocaust, so, like,
right.
One piece of bread to make a Seder.
Right, right. Right? What should I do? Which is the better approach? Right? Rubenstein last night made it sound like the better approach would be to just stick to our usual practices, right? Torah and mitzvahs. Follow the halacha. Why do you need to do an aver l'shma? Why do you need to mix it up? Vayavar Mordechai. Keep it simple. It's a hard question. All right? But that's what the tzaddik did, and it seems to have worked. So therefore, Chazal, we're koveya the omto, the tanis, I'm sorry. When were Chazal koveya the tanis? What was the Tanis about? It was a Purim Tanis, right? It happens to have been in the calendar in the month of Nisan, but the fast was the Purim story. So where did Chazal put this Tanis? Next to Purim. They put it on the 13th of Adar. But still, we need to understand exactly which fast we're commemorating today. So take a look, 5 lines from the bottom. Middle of the line. Be'inyan zem matzinu shenechlechu ba rishonim. The Rishonim debated exactly what is the nature of our fast today. What is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam? The Das Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by the Rosh at the very beginning of Maseches Megillah. Kavu Estanis Esther Kazecher Litzom Shal Yehudim Shitzamu Kodim Lemochama B'Shlosha Asar Ba'adar. Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't need to bend over backwards to explain to you why we're fasting today. This was the day the Jews went to battle for their lives. Yeah? This is the day the Jews went to battle for their lives. And we have an unusual practice as Jews that when we go to the battlefield, we go out hungry. You would think just the opposite. Eat a good hearty meal. Have the strength and energy. It's exactly the way that we show that we're not going to win the battle. Hashem's going to win the battle. Hashem ish melchama. We have to do our shtadlus, but we go out to the battlefields hungry with tefillos and fasting. So says Rabbeinu Tam, today's fast day is a commemoration of exactly that. The fact that we fasted today on the 13th of Adar on our way out to battle. So where did Rabbeinu Tam get this idea? Rabbeinu Tam said, what do you mean, where did I get this idea? Where did I get this idea? What's the first Mishnah in Maseches Megillah? Elakach nisparish lamaimer mishnah b'reish Maseches Megillah. The opening Mishnah of Maseches Megillah, chavra, how does it go? Megillah Nikres, no, 11th, lo pachos v'lo yoser. The Megillah can be read on the 11th, the 12th, the 15th, the 14th, and the 15th of Adar. Not before, after. Okay? So, if you learned the first page of Maseches Megillah, I imagine some of you have, it says the 14th and the 15th, that's sit in the Pasuk. Read Megillah Esther. I know that's a day that you can read the Megillah. But what about the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th? How do you know you're allowed to read on the 11th, the 12th, 13th? Turn the page. Page 249. So the Gemara gives a drasha to say that we're allowed to have days like the days. How many days is explicitly stated in the Megillah? 2 days, 14th and 15th. But the Pasuk says, right, Kayamim asher nachu behem ayehudim. Kayamim. So the Gemara says, Yomim kayamim. There's other days like those days. So we add on 2 more days. The Gemara works it out. We add on the 11th and 12th. What about the 13th? What about the 13th? So the Gemara says, you see it on page 249 in the 6th line, it says, Shlosha Asar is Zman Kihila Lachol. It says, today, the 13th of Adar, Zman Kihila Lacholhi, the Lashon of the Gemara. Today was the day of the great gathering. What does that mean, Zman Kihila? What did we gather about? What did Jews gather about today, historically, on the 13th of Adar? The Gemara says, again, the 14th and 15th, you can read the Megillah, it says so explicitly in the Megillah. It says, Kayamim, to add on 2 more days, we had the 11th and 12th. What about the 13th? The Gemara calls it Zman Kihila B'Choli, a day of Kihila, of gathering for all Jews. What does that mean? So he quotes the opinion of Rashi, in the 8th line on the page. Rashi Piresh Mashmo Zman Kihila. What does it mean, Zman Kihila? Shenikalu HaYehudim, Lihilachem, Ulihinakem, Me'oiveyem. Jews got together. To what? To arm themselves and to go out to battle. Ulefish ikar anez bohaya, and since today was the main day of the miracle, alkein roi likro bo es hamegillah. So of course you can read the Megillah today. The opening Mishnah Maseches Megillah, again, let's review, says you can read the Megillah on the 11th of Adar, the 12th of Adar, the 13th of Adar, the 14th of Adar, or the 15th of Adar. How do I know that? Again, Megillah's Esther only says the 14th and 15th. So the Gemara says, Kayomim teaches us you can add on 2 days, 11 and 12. What about 13, says the Gemara? Zman Kihila Lacholhi. What does that mean, says Rashi? The Jews gathered to defend themselves. And Rashi says, if this is the day that Haman wanted to kill us, of course we could read the Megillah today. It's obvious. I don't need a special pasuk to prove to me that I can read the Megillah today. Of course I can read the Megillah today. What's the question on Rashi? The Rush, which is where Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is quoted, asks a question on Rashi. What's the question on Rashi? Of course you can read the Megillah on the 13th of Adar. It's a no-brainer. Of course you can. Yud Gimel Adar? Of course. Ask a question on Rashi.
Why is that of course?
Well, because this is the day that we fought for our lives. This is the day Haman wanted to kill us. This is the day of celebration.
Why?
We also Yud Aleph and Yud Beis.
Why don't we?
Why don't we say it better? Why don't we what? Meaning, if Mordechai and Esther felt this was the best day, then we would have been Koveya, the 13th of Adar, as the day for Kriyas Megillah. Right? Rashi's saying, it's so obvious, the 13th for sure is a day for Kriyas Megillah. How could it not be? This is the day we fought for our lives. Says the Rosh, in about 10th line, Ulam be'enei ha-Rosh, hayakasha perusha al-Rashi, v'hikshu alav. He asks on Rashi. According to Rashi, right, matam nikva shlosha sar ba'adar likra bas Megillah. Right? According to Rashi, the 13th should be a day for Kriyas Megillah. If it's Zman Kehila, yeah, Hainu Yom Melchama, Varei Megillah Esther Mashma Shalo Yemei Melchama Nikvu L'Kriyas Megillah El Yemei HaManucha. You're saying, oh, this is for sure a day for reading the Megillah. No, it's not. Why did Mordechai and Esther pick the 14th and 15th? What does it say in the Megillah? He quotes it right here. Kayama Masher Nachu Behem HaYehudim. Mordechai and Esther picked the day after the battle. Right? No one wants to celebrate the battle. The battle's scary. It's the day after the battle. It's after the Melchama that the Jews, Baruch Hashem, were saved on the 14th, in Shushan on the 15th. They have to finish the battle for one more day. Right? So what do you mean, Zman Kehil L'Cholhi? It doesn't say Zman Melchama L'Cholhi. I don't think Rashi's correct, says Rabbeinu Tam, says the Rosh. So therefore, the Rosh says, the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, what was Zman Kehila? What was special about today? Why is today a day that's eligible for Kriyas HaMegillah? It's a day of Kehila, a day of gathering. What does it mean? Gathering what? He says, HaMechuvan B'Kehila, Shakol Misasvin Latanis Esther. Everyone got together for what? For davening. Ubam B'nei Kfarim La Yaros Lomer Slichos V'Tachanunim. People who lived far away came to the big cities to what? For Slichos and for davening. Levishabo Nikalwa Yehudim Lamud Al Nafshim. And it was what? It was that gathering of tefillah that made the 13th a special day. V'kihila zos nikva lezecher hiskalos ha-yehudim b'mei Mordechai v'Esther levakesh rachim. So today is the day of tefillah. Today is the day commemorating, not so much that the Jews went out to the battlefields. Today is the day commemorating the fact that the Jews got together and fasted, as we are, and davened, as we are. Sheyuchlu lamar al-nafshim l'inokim yoyveyim. Right? That's what we're commemorating. He says, like the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, we find the same thing in the Sefer HaManhig from one of the Rishonim, who writes, V'ukasav, the line that begins with the word ki, ki haminog lis'anos erev Purim, einu mishum zecher letanis Esther. We're not remembering Esther's fast in Nisan. Rather, sharei ein anu tzom shlosh yom laila v'yom. We're not fasting for 3 days. V'od harei osen tanis v'pesach hayo. That fast was on Pesach. So what fast are we fasting? What is this fast? Is commemorating the Jews getting together to what? To daven, slichos, tefillah, klal yisrael b'machazik each other. Okay? So that is the nature of Tanis Esther, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, go to the bottom paragraph on page 249. Ulam daito shel Rabbeinu Tam tu'una biur. But let's go a little deeper. Okay, so it makes a lot of sense what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Right? We're fasting because they fasted on this day. We're davening because they davened on this day. Right? It's not a contradiction to the Simcha, because we should be celebrating the fact that Klal Yisrael got together in this way. But let's go a little deeper. Shekein l'chora gam l'fi Rabbeinu Tam adayin tzrichem anu hesper. But even according to Rabbeinu Tam, we need to understand a little bit more. Ma ha-goreim b'yom shlosha asara lios gam hu mukhshar likros bo'as ha-megillah. Rabbeinu Tam, you still didn't explain to us why today is a day for Kriyas ha-megillah. You told us, well, I don't like Rashi's explanation, that because we fought today, therefore we can read the Megillah. The challenge to that was, what do you mean? The Megillah itself says, we read the Megillah on the days that we rested, not the days that we fought. And then Rabbeinu Tam says, the 13th was the day that we davened. Yeah. So again, Rabbeinu Tam, what's your source that we can read the Megillah on the 13th? Again, if Mordechai and Esther thought it was such a great day, why didn't they pick that day as the Lechatchila day? Amnam hu zman kihila shenekalu lisanos. It was the day we got together to fast. Aval kluma tanis higo remes as a kriya. But does a tanis? Does the fact that we're... You're telling me fighting is not a good indicator that it should be a day for kriya samagila. Because the Megillah is for resting, not for fighting. Okay? So now you're telling me instead, today is a day of, let's redefine the day as a day of what? Of fasting and davening. So is fasting and davening enough of a reason to say that we read the Megillah? He says, "As daito shrabenu tam pirish Rav Chaim Aaron Turchin Zatzal," who explained as follows, three lines from the bottom: "Kevan shabishlosha asar ba'adar miskansim letanis Esther yesh betanis mishum hechsher liosa Megillah nikreis bo." Yes, fasting does come along with Kriyas HaMegillah. Fasting allows for Kriyas HaMegillah today. Really? Fasting allows for Kriyas HaMegillah. What does fasting have to do with Kriyas HaMegillah? Amarnu la'el ki Tanis Esther shona mishar Tanios. He says, I told you above that Tanis Esther is a very different type of fast. Sheshar Tanios zecher l'ma'oros v'tzarosein. Because again, all the other fasts commemorate what? How things were falling apart. Turn to the top of 250, page 250. Ve'ilu betanis Esther zecher l'nesi. Betanis Esther again is not commemorating things falling apart. Tanis Esther is celebrating things turning around. Ve'itanis shel simcha. It's a tana of simcha. She yizkor kol adam ki Hashem yisparach shomeya u'moshiyal adam be'esar aso im yashuv elav. You know what today proves? It's such a chashuv day. I think Mr. Brewer writes this when he describes Tanis Esther. It proves that tefillah works. It proves you can have the biggest gezeira hanging over your head, Avin. It works. It actually works. She is Adam ki Hashem yisparach shomeya u'moshiyah l'chol Adam be'isaratso im yashuv elav. If we turn to Hashem and we fast and we do tshuva and we daven, it's not an abstract thing. It works. Ki gam atanis yesh po pirsum l'neis ul yeshua shalpurim. So explains Rav Chaim Aaron of Turchin, a very beautiful idea. Rav Chaim Aaron Turchin explains that what? What's the point of Kriyas HaMegillah? Why do we read the Megillah? Why do we read the Megillah? What are we achieving through Kriyas HaMegillah? No, Chaver, tell me, what are we achieving from Kriyas HaMegillah? Pursue Menisa. Why do we light a menorah on Hanukkah? Pursue Menisa. Why do we read the Megillah on Purim? We know the story, we know what happened. Pursue Menisa, publicize the miracle. So when we fast today and we daven today, says Rav Chaim Aaron Turchin, that's also part of Pursumei Nisa. You understand why? Why is this part of Pursumei Nisa? Because we're being mefarsim the fact that tefillah works. We're being mefarsim the fact that tshuva works. We're being mefarsim the fact that what? That fasting works. It works. That's part of the celebration, the Pursum Hanes. V'roi yom zel kriyas ha-Megillah. And therefore, that's exactly the feeling of the Megillah. The Megillah is to let it be known that Hashem provides for Klal Yisrael. And what we're doing today is accomplishing the very same goal. Okay? So there's an element of Pursumei Nisa. It's not a sad day today. We should feel good knowing that, wow, the process that we're engaged in right now is bringing about Yeshua, and that should give us an unbelievable sense of Simcha. Okay? Last point for today. Chazal, Shedarcham Haisal Izbonein Betoldos Ha'uma. When Chazal tried to understand, right, how life evolves, and they analyze gam kan acher hasiba harishona sheivia acher kach laonsham shel Yisrael b'mei Mordechai v'Esther shenimchu lahashmid laharug laapit. Right, we always want to understand why the Jewish people are going through things. So, if there was a decree that we almost got killed, there was a death threat hanging over our heads. We want to know why that is. And that's why the Gemara has those types of discussions. We know this Gemara, we saw it yesterday, we've mentioned it many times, very quickly. The Gemara asks, why were the Jews of that generation worthy of destruction? And the Gemara answers initially, because they went to Achashverosh's party. Al tshuva zu shalu rabim, v'chi mipnei shenanu misudaso shal Achashverosh higielem onesh chamor ze shal klaya. Again, it's an obvious question if you stop and think about it for a second. We've done some pretty bad things in Jewish history. We've done some pretty bad things. We sold Yosef. We made an eagle. Meraglim. Somehow we were able to make it past all of those. All of a sudden, the Jews go to a party. Maybe eat not kosher. Let's assume they ate not kosher. Let's assume that maybe they, you know, they had a good time at the party. Yeah? It was a Gaiisha party. And all of a sudden Hashem says, that's it, I'm going to destroy you. Of all the things we ever did in history, and it wasn't all of Klal Yisrael at the party. Of all the things we ever did in history, really? You're going to destroy us for this party? Because we went and we had a good time. We ate some cheeseburgers at Achashverosh's party. That's the straw that so to speak, you know, breaks your back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you can't handle? No, it's a good question. Of all the things that we did wrong and somehow we're able to survive, this party was so chamor, it was so stringent, such a terrible violation that we deserve to die. Afilu tomar kibosa suda achlu nevelos utreifos. Even if you say at the party they ate treif. So is that such a serious? What's the punishment for eating not kosher? Malchus, they give him lashes. So now all of a sudden there's a gezeirah of misa hanging over our head? What was so terrible? You need to understand. What even allowed the possibility of Haman to make a threat like this against us? So the Svarim explained, he says, V'tirtzu, ki be'emes lo alachi losam ba lehem oncham. It wasn't the eating that Hashem was so mad about. It was bad, that's also a big avera. El alchid acher shechatu bo suda. It's something more about what happened at that suda. What's hinted to in the Gemara, when the Gemara is explaining what exactly went wrong, that's not what it says. It doesn't say that they ate at the party. It says what? They enjoyed the party. You know where else we ask the exact same question as like, Hashem, what? This sounds crazy. In the Tochacha. How does the Tochacha end, the Parshas Kisavo? If you want to know why this Holocaust is happening to you, what does it say? Tachas asher lo avartas Hashem Elokecha b'simchu v'tuv levav mirov kol. Because you did not serve God with great joy. Really? Because I didn't serve you with enough joy, Hashem? That's why you're bringing the Tochacha, the scariest, harshest, horrific psukim of Parshas Kisavo? Really? So, Chaver, I'll show you a different way to read the pasuk. Tzaddikim say that's not what Hashem is mad about. You know what Hashem is mad about? It's not that you did mitzvahs, but you aren't so into it. Hashem can handle that. It'd be better if you were more into it. It's a shtickle of malek to not be into it, but Hashem can handle that. Here's how you read the pasuk: Tachas asher lo avaratas Hashem elokecha b'simcha. When you were lo avaratas Hashem elokecha, when you rebelled against God, it wasn't Hashem, I have a taiva, I can't control myself. You were happy to rebel against Hashem. Tachas asher lo avad, your asher lo avad tas Hashem lokecha was done b'simcha. You were happy. I was talking to someone recently who was struggling with a certain inyan. And he said that one of his friends, who's much less religious, I pressured him to do something on Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos. And he said, his friend, he saw, and this guy, like, he was very annoyed because he knows that he's struggling, he's trying to keep Shabbos, and he's struggling with keeping Shabbos. It's hard for him sometimes. He's been nichshel in that thing, which is a little unfathomable to me. Shabbos. Person's Mechal Shabbos, Chayv Karis. I don't know, like, when Chil Shabbos became, like, something that's even possible for a Jew to do, willingly. But anyways, he's struggling with this, and he wants to do the right thing, but he has a friend who could care less. And this friend, like, basically, like, you know, intentionally brought him down. And he saw that as he was getting into Michal Shabbos, his friend was, like, you know, like, happy that, you know, that he was going to be Michal Shabbos with him. And he said he was very angry at his friend. They said, it's one thing for you to choose to be Michal Shabbos, but for you to get a simcha out of what? Because you feel less guilty when you know that I'm also Michal Shabbos with you? That you got a simcha out of that? He said his friendship hasn't been the same with that guy since that happened. So it's the same thing Hashem says to us. You want to do averos because you have taivas? I get it. But the fact that you're celebrating the averos? You go to Achashverosh's party because you're under pressure because of the government under which you're living that you have no choice but to go to the party? I get it. Sometimes the Yitzhar pressures us into things. But to be so proud of it, to celebrate it, nehenu misudaso shel Achashverosh. How was the party? They should have said afterwards, they should have said to themselves, that was terrible that we had to go to that. The Jews came home and they said, that was a geschmack, that was a great party. So Hashem says, what's wrong with you? You're celebrating the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. You're celebrating that God has abandoned the Jewish people. Right? That's insane. The punishment for Klal Yisrael was the fact that what? That they enjoyed the party. The truth is, if you read the Gemara carefully, you see that word nehenu, that's the key word, nehenu. But the truth is, if you read the Megillah carefully, you see that Mordechai and Esther make this point as well. Kach bia Reb Leib Chaspin, the great Baal Musar, the great Mashkiach, Reb Leib Chaspin, wrote a sefer on Chumash called the Or Yahel, Yud Hei Lamed, Or Yahel. It's quoted in the footnote 33. So Reb Leib Chaspin said the following insight. He was a Mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva. Here's what he said. Kishesholcha Esther es Hasacha Mordechai. When Esther sent Mordechai a message through Hasach to try to understand why is Mordechai fasting? Why is Mordechai tearing his clothing? Interesting question. Now Esther says, Maze va'al maze. How would you even translate that? Right, what is this? And what's al maze?
What's it about?
Right? Like what's it about? Yeah, I like that translation. Hey, what is this? Like what is it on the surface? But like, what's this really about? Right? Says Reb Lasman, Nusach Chatzar Zeshal Sheila, Heivinu Bo Chazal Shemekupelet Sheila Gedola. Chazal saw in that double lashon, Maze Ve'al Maze, Esther's not just asking for information. She's asking a deep question. V'ro'o B'mila Zeh, Chazal saw in the word Zeh, the Gemara says, does this mean that the Jews have what? Have abandoned Zeh Keli Va'anvehu? The God who they saw so clearly at Kriyas Yamsuf. Or maybe the Zeh refers to what? Mizeh u'mizeh heim ksuvim. It says about the Luchos, that it was written from this side and that side. Esther's trying to understand what's really at the root. What's really at the root of this tzara? How did this come to be? Are we not connected to Hashem? Zeh keli vanvei? Are we not connected to Torah? Mizeh u'mizeh ksuvim, like it says about the Luchos. So Mordechai says back, Ve'ageid lo Mordechai es kol asher karao. Mordechai responds, everything that happened. U'ma yesh bedover zeh lanos el shelasa shel Esther. So how does that answer Esther's question? Hakor esover sheyesh from Mordechai gilo yachet, haynu asiba harishona shel ha'onesh. V'u ona la es kol asher karao ve'es parshas ha'kesef, shezu siba ha'achrona. O yosher nachon emtzei shal yado nasa ha'onesh. Elegam chuvaso shal Mordechai l'sheilaso shal Esther nemra b'lashon remes. Mordechai seems to not explain. And Mordechai just says, oh, here's what's happening. And he tells her, you know, the gzeira. So that's not what Esther asked. Esther said, what's happening here? Why is this happening? How did this come to be? So Mordechai responds, oh, the Jews are in danger. I know the Jews are in danger. I'm asking you, why are they in danger? What happened here? So Mordechai, says Reb Leib Chaspin, is also speaking in remes. He's hinting something. What's he hinting? He seems to just be giving the facts. No, it's not just that he's giving the facts. Chazal explained the word, but Mordechai explains, kol asher karo, everything that what? Karo, everything that's happening. Turn to the last page. Chazal see in that word karo a very deep secret. He's being merames to something. What does Chazal see in the word karahu? Karo sounds like asher karcha baderech. Mordechai says to Esther, watch out. Amalek's back in town. Second line. Amar Mordechai la'asach. Leich amor la'al Esther. Go tell Esther. Ben bino shel karo ba'alecha. Watch out. The descendant of karo is coming. Who's the descendant of karo? Amalek. Haman is from Amalek. Asher kar chabaderech. Bikol makom. But still. Adayin chaser b'tshuva bir hasiba rishon shalonesh. How is that the answer? Again, how does that explain how everything happened? You're telling me who the enemy is. I know who the enemy is, Esther says. I know we're in danger. I want to know why. Why did Hashem allow this? Mordechai says, no, listen carefully. I'm telling you the answer. Listen carefully. Sharei gam amalek einu ela hasiba achrona. U'maka lachov lem shvidei HaKadosh Baruch l'anash es Yisrael. Right? Again, it sounds like Amalek is just the weapon that's being used to punish us. So Mordechai says, no. Amalek is the reason. Listen. Elamilas karcha yesh levara kedivre chazal. What do chazal say? What does karcha mean? Karcha is a lashon of what? It can mean keri, it can be a lashon of nikra, it's a lashon of kur, of kriris, of coldness, right? Be lashon kur, vitzina, a lashon of cooling off. Ulefiz emitzayenes milas karao. as tivo v'ofio shalom malek. So in the word karao, it tells us the nature of malek, which is that what shehime via imotzina malek brings coolness. They try to cool us off. Umatzina haisakan. So what is the tzina? What is the cooling off that Mordechai is hinting? Esther says, how did this come to be? She wants to know the depth of it, not just, you know, the superficial explanation. There's a guy named Haman and he's a bad guy. No. Why? Why is this happening? So Mordechai says, I'm telling you why. Because it's a malek. Yeah, so what? I didn't ask who. I said, why? Right. But what is a malek? What is the nature of a malek? They cool us off. And therefore what? Umatzina haisakan. Shahutzon v'niskara libam shal Yisrael kishachlu b'svidasa shal Achashverosh. You know how cold the Jewish heart has to be to go to that party and to enjoy it? You know how far away you have to be from Hashem? There were Jews at that party who had been at the Beis HaMikdash once upon a time. How cold is your heart? How insensitive have you become that what? That you could be nehenem b'svidasa shal Achashverosh. How sick are you? That's crazy. You know? That's like a person showing up at a funeral and saying, like, oh, did I miss the shmorg? Like, where's the food? There's no shmorg at a funeral. What's wrong with you? You came here to get free food? This was a funeral. This was a celebration of the death of God. God is dead, to quote a famous wicked philosopher. Yeah? That's what Achashverosh was celebrating. It was over. This is the new Beis HaMikdash. I'm the new Kohen Gadol. But ma haisa iskaris halev. So how did the Jewish people get so cold? Tzeyu re'ei kishagol Yisrael l'Bavel. When the Jews left Bavel, they were crying. You know what they were saying? Eich na shira shira shema admas nechar. We're never going to sing again. We're never going to eat again. And now you're at Achashverosh's party and you're enjoying it? What's wrong with you? Right? Shiru lanu mishir tzion. We're never going to be Eich na shira shira shema admas nechar. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini. Yeah? And now all of a sudden, they're at Achashverosh's party. So Hashem says, wow, that's like, it's unfathomable. You went to the party, you had to eat, I understand. Hashem says, I'm mochel on the fact that you went to the party. I'm mochel on the fact that you ate treif at the party. I'm not mochel on the fact that you enjoyed the party. That's sick. That's not how a Jew acts. V'ne'ata Achashverosh orich suda. Because he thinks that the geula is never happening. And you go and you enjoy that party. That's Mordechai's answer to Esther. Esther, you want to know how could such a terrible decree happen? What did the Jews do that was so terrible? There has to be something deep. Mazeh va'al mazeh. So Mordechai says, look how far the kriyus can go. Like I told you yesterday, the Chavetz Chaim said to his son, you're so much colder than me. And your children are going to be so much colder as Jews. You're going to be so much colder than you. How far will the cooling go? Right, when are we going to turn the tide and turn it around and start warming up again? So he says, second to last paragraph, Rach Mordechai zachar Tzion v'Yushalayim. Right, Mordechai remembered Tzion v'Yushalayim was before his eyes at all times. Uva'osei meitzara osei ku b'hilchos avodas hamikdash. Like the Gemara says, Mordechai is still teaching hilchos beis hamikdash to his students at the moment that Haman shows up. He's teaching them kamitza. And therefore, in the final paragraph, uva'ezes chos negali Yisrael migzeras amalek. So if we really were so cold, if the Jewish heart had literally frozen over, so then how is it possible that we experience Yeshua? Tshuva l'zeh anu motzam b'megillah. We find that in the Megillah as well. She'ester goz retzom shal shlosh yamim. Esther said, fast for 3 days. V'lama tzom chamor kol kach. What would have been wrong with fasting for 1 day? Why 3 days? It seems a little extreme. 3 days is a long time to fast. So Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great mashgiach from the Mir Yeshiva, explained. She'yatzom mechuvan keneged shnei dvarim. The fast was what? Commemorating 2 different things. Davar echad levatel esro agazera. On the one hand, a regular fast, just to try to overturn the evil plot. Kederach kol tanios, she goes around tzibur beis sara. V'davar sheni kedei lamarik es ahano shenanu minasuda. They were fasting on the one hand to what? To just say, Hashem, we're in trouble. Okay, classic. But they were also fasting to try to what? To try to undo the joy that they got from the suda. Ad kan biuro. That's all Rav Yochum explains. Ulefi shechatu b'shichas Yerushalayim. And because they had forgotten about Yerushalayim to such a degree, alkein kishabo l'kvoa es dinei mikra megillah, samu aliban l'takin es achet hazeh. V'asu zecher l'Yerushalayim v'aretz Yisrael hachareva, v'kavu ki aram ha'mukafo eschom mimos Yeshua ben Nun k'neged Shushan, shesham ha'isa ha'shichacha, yikru b'yom tesvav. So in response, we have to not only fast as a what, as a way of just saying Hashem, we're in trouble, but to acknowledge we ate in a way that was so inappropriate that was the underpinnings of this whole gezeira. And not only that, he says in the final lines, he says, and therefore, who ate at that party? The people of Shushan. So Shushan needs to what? Have a special day of celebration. Yerushalayim is going to be like Shushan. Shushan is going to be like Yerushalayim. Walled cities, to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael, like the Rishonim say, have to have their own special day of Purim. Because we have to show Eretz Yisrael, or Yerushalayim, we're never going to forget about you. Shushan Abira is not the new Yerushalayim. Right? And neither is New York City, or Tinek, or the Five Towns, or anywhere else. So part of the sick attitude that Klal Yisrael had adopted, which led to such a harsh gezeira, that there's a gezeiras klaya of complete destruction of the Jewish people, is that not only were we in Galus and made some mistakes because it's hard to be a Jew in Galus. Hashem says, I get that. But when you start buying into the Galus narrative and you start living the Galus and loving the Galus and thinking the Galus is like the ultimate pleasure, Hashem says, whoa, that can't be. I gotta shake you up. So Hashem shook us up. Nu, so Mirza Hashem, we should be Zocha through the fasting today. We should be Nana from the Suda, the Holy Suda. The Holy Suda of Suda's Purim. Make sure that your Suda is not a Suda Zachashverosh, you know? Make sure that it's a proper Suda that gives Shiros and Tishbachos to Hashem, filled with Divrei Torah. Versus Rabbi Israel, our great Mashkiach, likes to say Divrei Neshama. You know, make sure it's the proper type of Suda. But again, today is not a sad day. Today is a day where Jews get together and we daven and we fast and we recognize the power of Tefillah working. It's part of the Persume Nisa of Kriyas Megillah, which is why you could even read the Megillah on the 13th of Adar. And Amir Tosham, all of our Tefillos and our fasting should be Paul Yeshua's for Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
No. I feel like we should sing a Niggun. It's a happy day.